cheerful reminders in our praise and worship time. If you're struggling in any way, shape, or form, Jesus is available for you right now. The help of God is available to us at all times. And we're going to learn a little bit more about that this morning as we continue in the Upper Room Discourse recorded in chapters 13 through about 16, 17 here in the Gospel of John. And this morning we're in John chapter 14. We'll be looking at verses 25 and 26. Lord, we ask that you would continue to speak to our hearts and encourage us this morning. Father, I pray that we would live for you in a powerful way. I pray that as your people, we would rise up above the level of mediocrity. We want to live full lives for you. And thank you so much, Lord, that you have made that possible. Teach us now, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Gang, the true Christian life is not a religious life where Christians just follow rules and regulations and keep rituals and ceremonies. Now, there's a lot of Christians out there that will live the Christian life that way, but it's not the true Christian life. The true Christian life is not an academic, scholarly kind of life where you just study the Bible as much as you can to get a whole bunch of head knowledge and to become proficient as a theologian. Though it's important to study the Bible, the Christian life is not purely academic. Now, there are some Christians that will live the Christian life that way, but that's not the true Christian life. The true Christian life is a supernatural life. Let me say that again. The true Christian life is a supernatural life where Christians walk, grow, and minister in a living, powerful, dynamic relationship with God. And it is the Holy Spirit who lives inside the believer that makes that supernatural life possible. Our task, really, as Christians, is to walk in dependence upon the Holy Spirit, to be mindful of Him, to yield our lives to Him. Years ago, Dwight L. Moody was going to have a campaign in England. And one of the pastors there in England was a little skeptical towards Moody, and he was heard to say, "Why do we need this Mr. Moody? He's uneducated. He's inexperienced. Who does he think he is anyway? Does he think he has a monopoly on the Holy Spirit?" And a younger, wiser pastor rose and responded, "No, but the Holy Spirit has a monopoly on Mr. Moody." That is the way we as Christians should live. Not with this idea that we've got a monopoly on the Holy Spirit. We know the real deal. No. The Holy Spirit has a monopoly on us. Each one of us living in dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Now, folks, Jesus says a lot about the Holy Spirit in the Upper Room Discourse. As we've already studied, Jesus told us that the Holy Spirit would be a helper to us, that He would abide with us forever, that He would be with us and in us. Wonderful truths. And Jesus will have more to say about the Holy Spirit as we continue into the Upper Room Discourse. But I want you to just see one singular truth about the Holy Spirit this morning that is so important and so wonderful from our text this morning. Jesus said in verse 25 of John chapter 14, These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. This is what I want us to remember this morning. Focus in on this. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. Jesus said to his disciples, He will teach you all things. I love that word teach. It's the Greek word didasko in the New Testament. And you look at it and you find the definitions, and it's defined in many different ways: to impart instruction, to instill doctrine into someone, to explain, to expound, to bring understanding and clarity. A teacher turns on the light where there's darkness, where there's ignorance. The teacher comes in and makes things absolutely, perfectly understandable and clear. And that is one of the most important ministries of the Holy Spirit to you and I as Christians. He turns the light on in our lives. He teaches, He instructs. And there's a wonderful thing that's going on here in this passage that you need to understand. Jesus is basically saying that the Holy Spirit will be a teacher just like He was. When He was here physically on the earth during His public ministry, Jesus said He's going to ask the Father. The Father is going to send the Helper, the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. He'll come and He'll be just like Jesus. The Holy Spirit is a teacher just like Jesus. Now consider that truth this morning. I think it's important that we consistently read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, because it's wonderful to be familiar with the life of Christ, the things He did and the things that He said. And every time I read through the Gospels, I am struck with the miracles that He did, the healing that He did, and it shows His power and His compassion. And certainly you're struck with the passion, what Jesus did, how He went to the cross. But you know, if you really look at the gospel messages, you will notice that the ministry of Jesus was primarily a teaching ministry. He was a communicator of truth who told people about God. This life, the next life. And obviously, he was an amazing teacher, wasn't he? I mean, you look through the scriptures, you look through the gospels, and you see that he had an incredible command of the Old Testament scriptures. He would quote from them, he would expound them, he would explain them, he would bring application to the people. He would tell the most awesome stories and parables that would just cause people to go, ooh, lights on. Yeah, I see that truth. Think of those stories. They're kind of old for us, but imagine what it was like to initially hear them, the story of the prodigal son, the sower sowing seed, that story of the Good Samaritan. What an incredible teacher Jesus was. And then He would use these images that would no doubt leave a permanent mark on the minds of His audience. He told them one time, it would be better to tie a millstone around your neck and jump in the lake than to lead one of these little children away from the truth. What an image. Or the time He said, you know what you need to do? You need to pull the log out of your own eye before you attempt to remove the little speck of sawdust out of your brother's eyes. These were images that were wonderful. And then remember how incredibly witty He was with the religious experts, the lawyers and such that would come and try to trap Him. There was that time when the religious experts came to Jesus and said, "Hey, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment in all of the law?" Now, before you remember what his response was to that question, but you need to understand something. When they came and asked him that question, there was a big dispute among all the religious experts about what was the greatest commandment in the law. And they had codified the law into 600 plus commandments. Some were positive, some were negative. I can see all these things on a whiteboard. And all these religious leaders, you know, which of the 600 is the greatest commandment? And they're trying to draw Jesus into that debate. We also know that at that time, and still even to this day, devout Jews would wake up every morning and recite a passage called the Shema, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Every single morning, those devout experts woke up, and that was the first prayer that they offered. And so they asked Jesus, "What's the greatest commandment in the law?" And he says, "Oh, that's easy. That's what you recite every morning, Mr. Religious Expert. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. That's the greatest commandment." It's just wonderful how he had this grasp of truth and was able to assimilate it. Dispense it. He was the greatest communicator that ever lived. And that's why the scripture says that multitudes flocked to him. After he finished his Sermon on the Mount, the scripture says that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. At the end of Mark chapter 12, it specifically says that after the people had heard Jesus, it says the common people heard him gladly. The word translated gladly comes from a Greek word that means sweet. They would hear Jesus preach and they would say, "Sweet." They enjoyed it. They were delighted. He spoke to them. He was an amazing teacher. The Holy Spirit is a teacher just like Jesus. And Jesus said to his disciples, "I'm going to be splitting pretty soon. I'm going to be leaving. I'm going to be leaving the scene. But don't worry, the Helper's coming. He's going to be just like me, and he's going to be a teacher just like Jesus, and he is, and he's just as good." And then understand this truth. Let this wash over you this morning, my brother and sister in Christ. The Holy Spirit is a personal teacher to every single born-again Christian. Understand that. If you are a born-again Christian, then you have the Holy Spirit as your very own personal, private trainer, instructor, tutor. And he will teach you just as Jesus Christ taught his disciples on those dusty roads of Galilee. Think of it. You say, "How do I know?" Well, Jesus told us a few verses earlier. He promised, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Jesus made a promise. The Holy Spirit's going to come. He is going to indwell you. He will be in you. And that promise was fulfilled at the day of Pentecost is recorded in Acts chapter 2 when the church was born. The Holy Spirit was poured out upon the disciples. And ever since that day, when a person becomes a born-again Christian, the Holy Spirit takes up residence. And will never leave you. And he's a teacher the divine instructor living inside you on the job 24 hours, 7 days a week, to be your guide, to be your instructor. You know, in the school system, they talk a lot about the teacher-student ratio. And what do we mean by the teacher-student ratio? You want the teacher-student ratio to be as low as possible. Why? So that students will have more direct one-on-one access to the teacher. The lower the ratio, the more available the teacher will be to each student. You know, sometimes kids get in trouble at school. They have a hard time learning a subject, and so parents will then go and hire a tutor, say in math or English or whatever. And then that student will get one-on-one time with a tutor, which is very beneficial. The tutor can be right there to help that person right in their state of growth. Think of this. This is one of the most exciting concepts you can imagine. The Holy Spirit is your private tutor in the ways of life. Eternity. He never leaves you. He's never off the job. And he's an expert in what he teaches, don't you think? He knows everything about God. He knows everything about spiritual truth, about eternity. And he's a teacher who can communicate effectively, very easy to understand. And here's the best part I like about it. We have a personal private tutor who knows us best. He lives inside you. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows exactly where you are in your spiritual development. He knows exactly where you are in the journeys of life. The Holy Spirit can tailor-make your spiritual education process, dispensing truth to you in a way that you can understand, in a way that you're ready for, and in a way to bring maximum potential to your life. He's available to you. I'm told that a number of miles from the Los Angeles basin, there's a river. And the river's been dammed up by man. And through the genius and innovation of engineers, they've put together a dam that has, in its process of working, housed electricity. Hundreds and thousands of volts that are fed into the Los Angeles basin. Now, if you go to that plant and trace the source and follow the lines that come into the city, you'll come to various transmission plants along the way that would be marked danger. High voltage, hundreds of thousands of volts are available in energy for your home. But who needs 100,000 volts unless he wants to burn up his home? Knowing that, the engineers have built transformers into the system. Not transmitters, but transformers. And the transformer does nothing more than break down into meaningful units just the electricity you need. When the Holy Spirit, the transformer, comes. He will take the majestic truth of God and will dispense it just the way you need it. Give it to you with handles that you can take and use. It is the Spirit's delight to take the full truth of God and make one thing meaningful to that woman, something altogether different to that man, and something different again to that fellow down there. That's the work of the Spirit, and He never makes a mistake. He gives you just what you can handle. Absolute personal attention from the Holy Spirit as your teacher. Every couple months this year, we've been going to Dallas to take my son there for some shots in his medical condition. And Dallas is a difficult city to drive in. Anybody ever driven in that city? It's crazy. It's so easy to get lost in Dallas. And so there's been the times where we've gone and we've had the map of the city and we've printed out directions from MapQuest. Anybody ever get lost using MapQuest? The directions are too detailed, aren't they? But here we are in Dallas, and it's dangerous. You got to look at your map and look at the signs and not get crushed by the semi-truck behind you. And it can be very, very difficult. Well, on one trip, we had a dear sister in Christ let us borrow something called a Garmin. How many of you have heard of Garmins? Give a Garmin every Christmas, that silly commercial. It's a navigator. It's a GPS navigator. And you put it in your car and you turn it on. And the coolest thing is, up comes a map on the screen and it knows where you are on the map. There's your car right there. You can see, well, you can't see the car, but you see the little dot riding along on the map. And here's what's cool. You plug in your destination. And this female talks to you. In 10 miles, you're going to hang a right. Get ready. In 5 miles, you're going to hang a right. Here comes your right, right now. And it's wonderful. What a great way to travel the streets of Dallas. My friends, the Holy Spirit is inside you to navigate you through life. To absolutely navigate you through life. The Holy Spirit knows where you are on your spiritual journey. The Holy Spirit knows where you are in your experience of life. The Holy Spirit knows where He wants to take you, where to hang the right, where to hang the left. Tragically, many, many Christians, however, don't even listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit. He's right there. Or maybe there's too many Christians that have the radio turned up too loud. And all the signals from the world drown out that wonderful Spirit. That voice of the teacher. Are you listening for Him? Did you even know that He's that available to you? He is. You know, sometimes we read stories in the Old Testament and we wish we could be there. One of my stories in the Old Testament that I've always been fond of is the one where God actually leads the nation of Israel, 2.5 million people, through the wilderness with a cloud in the sky or a pillar of fire at night. Now, wouldn't that be cool? Wake up every morning and find the cloud. Follow the cloud. And we think, oh, that's miraculous. That would be amazing if only God would do that today. God has done that today. The Holy Spirit lives in you to guide you, to teach you, to lead you. Are you listening? Have we forgotten how wonderfully close God is? What does the Holy Spirit teach? Well, there's a blanket statement that Jesus makes here. We need to clarify it. Verse 26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things." Now, what does that mean, He will teach you all things? We really do need to clarify that, and we need to consider some other scriptures concerning that. I don't believe this is saying that the Holy Spirit will teach us all things that we can study in this world. For instance, if you would like to learn organic chemistry, you need to go to school to learn organic chemistry. You can't say to the Holy Spirit, "I want to learn organic chemistry." And then He gives a mind dump. downloads all of organic chemistry. Sorry, college students, but you can't use this verse as a justification not to study. Obviously, the Holy Spirit will teach us spiritual truth, matters of eternity. But even then, we can't say here that the Holy Spirit would teach us everything that can be known about God. We can't say from this verse that the Holy Spirit is going to answer every single question that we might have by the way God operates, because we know from other verses that right now our mind is limited. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, "For we know in part and we prophesy in part." He also said, "Right now we see in a mirror dimly." The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 55 concerning the Lord, speaking for God, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, said the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So there's eternity and there's truth that we just simply can't grasp right now. So what kind of spiritual truth will the Holy Spirit teach us? What all things? I believe that the Holy Spirit will teach us and instruct us in all things that have been revealed by way of spiritual truth, and all that we need right now in this life. Jesus said He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So the Holy Spirit will teach us what Jesus taught. The Holy Spirit will teach us spiritual truths, all that has been revealed. The Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. The Holy Spirit inspired the Bible. And there's a wonderful passage that I'll just read to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Read and listen very carefully. It says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may know the things that we have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." You take all of this information and all this data together, you find that the Holy Spirit wrote the Scriptures, He inspired the Scriptures, this is all of His truth, and the Holy Spirit is the one who illuminates this. Amen. Helps us to understand it. So what are the all things that the Holy Spirit will teach you? Well, He is going to be and desires to be your very own personal Bible teacher. Your instructor in the Scriptures. He is the one who will make the truths on the pages of Scripture come alive. Help you to understand. And He will do so in a wonderful way, again, if you let Him. We see that the Holy Spirit did that in a wonderful way with the disciples. Man, in the Gospels, the disciples were really silly, weren't they? They were spiritually dull. They never understood anything Jesus would say. Jesus would say something profound and they would all nod like, "We understand," but no, they didn't. In the Gospels, don't you see ignorance in the life of the disciples? Cluelessness? In the book of Acts, after the Holy Spirit has come, you find disciples who now totally understand. They understand what Jesus taught. They understand what it means. They understand how it mixes and relates with the Old Testament revelation. You see, the blinders come off, and that is what happens with us. The Holy Spirit will teach us and explain to our hearts the beautiful truths found in Scripture and how to apply them to our lives. And that needs to be said. The Holy Spirit teaches us the Bible. Every now and then I meet a Christian who says, "Hey, the Holy Spirit taught me something brand new." The church is supposed to go in a whole different direction. We're supposed to do this or that. We're supposed to have this or that happen at our service or whatever. Listen, if what the Holy Spirit tells somebody to do can't be found in the Scripture, then the Holy Spirit didn't tell that person to do it. The Holy Spirit illuminates His Word, helps us to understand what is written and how to apply it to our lives and live it. Now, this is an exciting concept. Don't miss this. Going back to the GPS example, the Bible is like the map. And the Holy Spirit is that voice that says, do this, do that, understand this. Let that revolutionize your walk as a Christian and your time in the Word. You know, when you have your personal devotions, when you get up every morning, hopefully, and you read the Bible, understand what should be happening there. Read the Bible prayerfully. Read the Bible listening for the voice of the Holy Spirit. Family devotions. The family gathers around the Scripture. Dads, do that. And you say, "Well, I can't. I never went to seminary. Excuse me. I don't have a Bible degree. How can I lead my family in personal devotions? Oh, I need to go to the Christian bookstore and get a book, Family Devotions, and we'll let the author do it." Wait a minute. You're a born-again Christian. You have the Holy Spirit living inside you. Get out the Bible. Read it. Get fresh manna for yourself and your family. He will speak to you. He'll speak through you to your children. The church service. When the people of God gather and open the Bible, listen for the voice of the real teacher, the Holy Spirit. You know, my job as a pastor is to study all week for Bible studies. And my primary job and what I try to do the very best that I can is hear the voice of the Holy Spirit for this congregation through the Word. And I would ask you to pray for me every week that I would hear His voice. But better than that, come to church praying to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit for yourself from the Bible. Let Him lead you. Let Him teach you. He will. He's promised. Just like the pillar of fire, man. Just like the cloud. He will lead you. I just think many of us as Christians don't bother to listen for His voice or don't understand what's really taking place or should take place when we meet with Him. Notice one more thing that Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do. And I love this promise in verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Now, there's a very specific interpretation of that last part. The Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. Who wrote the New Testament? The disciples. Or anybody connected directly to a disciple who saw Jesus. Well, those people heard Jesus say a lot of things. And if their memory is like anybody else's, they didn't remember a whole lot of it. But here's a promise. The Holy Spirit would supernaturally bring to the remembrance of His disciples all that He had said to them. And that explains the inspiration of Scripture. And how the Gospel got to be recorded. Some would say, how could they remember? The Holy Spirit caused them to remember. And so there's a specific application to that, but there's a general application to all of us. And I love this about the Holy Spirit, because my memory is getting worse and worse the older I get. The Holy Spirit supernaturally brings truth to our remembrance. He will pop Bible verses in your brain. He will give you spiritual truth. He will remind you. And it will happen in wonderful, wonderful ways. He lives inside you. He's your guide. He's your teacher. And He's your reminder. The Holy Spirit will convict us, won't He? With truth. You may be out there going about your day and all of a sudden you're presented with some temptation. A temptation to sin or a temptation to do something that you know doesn't please the Lord. And there it is right before you. And all of a sudden the red flag, have you heard His voice? Whoop! A Bible truth? A verse? You shouldn't be involved in that? That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. He will also be the voice of warning if you'll hear Him. You may be going about your day or going about your week and you get exposed to teaching. Maybe you hear some teaching on the radio or teaching on TV or teaching somewhere and it's not good teaching and there's an uncomfortable spirit in you. And there's a truth that comes into your mind. Wait a minute, there's a red flag here. That's the Holy Spirit at work. And by the way, I love how the Holy Spirit protects His people. Even people that are brand new Christians and maybe don't have a whole lot of knowledge about Scripture, they haven't studied it a lot, the Holy Spirit will still protect that person. I remember very early on, when I came back to the Lord, man, I wanted to read everything, every Christian book. And I had people come up and give me this book by this latest guy. And it was just like the end thing. And it would be the greatest book that you should read. It'll revolutionize your life. And I began to read it. And even as a young Christian, I knew something was wrong. That doesn't sound right. And I heard that, and I went to some other folks and asked them about it, and I was protected from going down a road of heresy. The Holy Spirit speaks to you. He puts things in your remembrance. The Holy Spirit, and this is the wonderful, wonderful aspect of walking by Him, He will bring truth to your mind and assist you when you're sharing the gospel with others. And when you're ministering to your brothers and sisters in Christ. He will give you the words to say. You go out and you share your faith, and you're going to get asked some whoppers. Let me just warn you. You're going to get asked some questions that you can't understand. You're going to get into, the conversation is going to bunny trail all over the place. But you know what? The Holy Spirit can be right there with you. And will give you the words to say. I've experienced it time and time again. The Holy Spirit will bring a spiritual truth to your remembrance when you're trying to encourage a brother or sister in Christ. Do you listen for His voice? The Holy Spirit will give you the words to say when you find yourselves in the hot seat. In a tough spot. In fact, Jesus promised the disciples, when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Isn't that awesome? It's a supernatural life, my friend. Interacting with the Holy Spirit, listening for His voice, allowing Him to teach you and guide you. And He does get you out of hot spots. I'm so thankful for what the Holy Spirit is, how He's protected me over the years. I think one of the most difficult situations I ever found myself in was when I was called in to do a funeral service for a friend of the family. Dear woman, older woman, loved Jesus, went to be with Jesus, went to heaven, and I went to do her funeral, and she had two daughters. One daughter was a committed Christian. The other daughter was a committed atheist, a New Age person. And so here we are in this little foyer getting ready to go out and do the funeral, and we're talking about it. And right as I'm about to go out and start the funeral, this atheist approaches me and says, listen, man, you have got to say something to comfort my side. Come on, preacher man. You had better share something that will comfort those people of my beliefs. And it rattled me. I was like, whoa. But you know what the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gave me these words. The Holy Spirit literally had me ask her, was your mom a Christian? Well, yes. Well, it's her funeral, not yours. Don't you think we should honor her beliefs in the funeral? Oh, yeah. Okay. I could not have come up with that if I had planned for weeks. It was perfect for the moment. And my friends, the Holy Spirit will give you words that are perfect for the moment. He'll do that in your life. The Holy Spirit, our teacher, the one who brings truth to our remembrance. Are you listening for His voice? Father, I pray that You would give us sensitive hearts, sensitive ears. Father, I am just so grateful this morning that You have made every single effort possible to help us, to save our souls, and then to lead us and direct us in a path that brings You glory. And Lord, I would ask for forgiveness when we make the Christian life something that you didn't intend it to be. I pray, Lord, for a revival in our hearts, a spiritual awakening in our hearts, a new zeal, a new yielding of our lives to your Holy Spirit. Fill us afresh this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.